You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to podcast episode number 3 of the Reach Right podcast. As we said before, I'm Thomas, and with me as always
is Ian.
Hey, Ian, good to connect with you today. And
yeah, Thomas.
Looking forward to talking through some pretty challenging topics, I think, that we're looking at here today. This conversation, it stemmed from something we passed around our office. Read an article from the always great Kerry Newhoff. He had some really good things to share this week. He put out a post that was called "Church Attendance is Dying, What's Next?" I thought it was really profound stuff that we got to talk through in our whole office and share with everybody in our company. And I'm sure you appreciated it too.
No, it's a reality we have to face. You know, this might be one of our most depressing podcasts, but it's good to address because we have to face reality, right?
Yeah, I don't want it to be depressing. I think it's going to be, I think it'll be something that'll be helpful.
Sure.
That's actually, I think for a lot of guys, I think that this is kind of a depressing season that they're going through right now. I talked to somebody just yesterday, an old friend who I hadn't talked to in a long time called me out of the blue. And it was one of those, I think it was one of those divine appointment calls. He was calling me and he was just kind of in this process of thinking about getting out of the ministry and or talking to his pastor. He's a campus pastor at a really large church. And he was thinking about talking to his pastor about wanting to step back from ministry and some of those things. And now, we got to process it a little bit, just that, you know, maybe what he was feeling wasn't something that was innate, but it was something that was really related to the challenges of this season. I thought it was interesting. I realize so many pastors are going through this, and I think it has to do with a lot of the attendance decline, and a lot of guys get kind of bummed out about that. I pastored for years, as you know, Ian, and so I remember just personally when we would have down weeks on Sunday mornings, that I would spend Sunday afternoon feeling kind of bummed out. You know, we would, I'd probably eat more than I should have. And there's all kinds of emotional stuff that goes with that, because I find wrongly, I'm not saying this is good, but I'm just saying that a lot of times we find our self-worth in how many people show up on Sundays or how we're doing with those metrics, and not in the places we should be finding our worth there. So are you hearing some of that kind of stuff?
I am. It's a matter of fact, probably why I used the word depressing was because it was on the tip of my tongue, because I had a couple of conversations today with pastors. As you know, I'm on the front lines with what we do here at Reach Right, and I dialogue with pastors daily, which is a blessing, but it also, you know, it really, I feel like we get a bird's eye view of the church, you know, often with as many churches as we connect with here at Reach Right. And one particular conversation today was a pastor who, an older gentleman at a traditional UMC church, and they, of course, have gone through what many churches have gone through since the shutdown and the pandemic, of just how everything has changed. I think, you know, and particularly for this pastor who was a bit older in the church, that was a little more traditional. And we've seen these churches, they've done things the way that they've done for years, you know, and I think that, you know, this has turned everything upside down for them. And one of the positives is we've seen so many churches adapt and make changes. And a lot of these types of churches, these older, and this was a smaller church, was not a huge church. And the whole tone and everything that that this particular pastor, you know, had was just that The uncertainty of what's coming, and that attendance definitely had declined for his church as well. They were doing outdoor services. They've also been doing Facebook Live, and they've had no other web presence other than that, which is a lot of what we talked about. But just really, I think just the reality had set in, and the uncertainty of what was to come with this pastor was on his mind. And he just really, I was doing my best to encourage him, but it kept coming back to where he just, there was a sense of hopelessness and just kind of how everything was up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I don't think it is hopeless. That's right. The whole thing is I think that it's all about perspective. I think if we're committed to our old models mm-hmm. and keeping those the same, then, you know, there's probably less hope. But I think if we're willing to pivot, I think that this can be one of the biggest opportunities that we have seen as the church, capital C church, in centuries, really. I think I've heard it said before that the last Reformation, the big revival that happened around the Protestant Reformation, it was tied to a major forced communication shift. And that was from the printing press, when the Bible became accessible to everybody because the printing press was out and they were mass producing Bibles with the printing press. That allowed for the Protestant Reformation and huge revival. And the reason why you and I are followers of Jesus today probably is tied to that moment there. Yeah. And here we are in this second Reformation almost. I think what lies before us is a really big opportunity where there is this enormous communication change that's happened that churches can take advantage of with social media and search and just that information is free and available to everybody now. It really is crazy times we're living in, but I think if our attitude is one that the old model is what we have to stick with, it's going to be depressing. Yeah. But if we're open to new models, I think we have really great opportunities in front of us.
Yeah. And I think that's the key right there, is being open to pivoting and making a lot of these changes that, that Carrie Newhoff addressed in the article and that we'll be talking about here today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that this is a big opportunity for pastors and for churches to really see something great. And I don't know if you're out there and you have that same tendency that I had, or that my friend I mentioned had, just of that depression, because we find so much of our worth in our numbers. I just want to encourage you, number one, that's normal. Like, this is something that I think just about every pastor faces. Almost everybody that I'm talking to is wrestling with that same feeling right now. So don't be discouraged. I am reading that a lot of people are going to be moving out of ministry in this season because they're not able to cope with some of that. And that saddens me. But if you're a listener or a watcher of this podcast, I hope that you would be encouraged and know that this is par for the course. But it does probably mean that there's a change that has to be made in how we're thinking about where we get our worth, that it has to come from come from the Father before it comes from our numbers and what we accomplish. It's hard to do, but yeah, I just want to encourage you guys with that. But let's give people a little bit of feedback about just some of the things that we were processing through reading that article, and I guess some of the how we've extrapolated that, I guess, into things that churches need to change. Let me mention this too. I think one of the things that stood out to me was, and this is a quote directly from Carrie Newhoff, where he said, "Digital is the new default." And I've been just ruminating on that for the past couple of days here. That is that true? Like, are we okay with digital being the new default? And what does that mean? I think that's kind of that model change we were talking about, that digital becoming the new default for churches. Now, let me say from the outset that I know you can speak for yourself on this, Ian. I know that I am not a believer in a digital-only approach. I think that having face-to-face interaction in the church is a biblical mandate, and it's something that we cannot abdicate. So I don't know. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I totally agree. And we know there's how many references in the Bible of us fellowshipping together in person and praying together and laying on of hands and direct physical contact. That's how we were created as humans. And I think getting back to the depression that pastors are feeling, but also I think that all of us in one way or another are feeling, we're kind of at this place now where, you know, when you look at the pandemic, everyone thought that by June or July, everything would be back to normal. Right. And here we are in kind of this second setback. And I think that has naturally created this new, oh my goodness, you know, it's created this depression and oh my goodness, here we're still dealing with this. But back to your point, as far as, I don't believe we should all be digital, and that is not how we were designed to be. But I think people are now feeling the effects of how we've been forced to be more digital in the recent months, but also now people are craving and they're kind of deprived of a lot of that in that interpersonal touch and communication. So I think people are feeling that right now. So I agree. People are longing for authentic community and being together in person, but it's still just something that we can't fully have.
Yeah. I think there's a subset of people that want that. I think everybody wants it. Like, I think whether we know it or not, we really want interpersonal face-to-face interaction. And some people feel like they're more introverted. I think even introversion, extroversion doesn't matter. I think there's an innate God-made desire that we would have interaction with human beings in the physical, right? So video and doing these kinds of things, it does help that happen. I guess we can substitute some of that, I guess. But yeah, we are big believers in the gathering of the saints. Now, that being said, I think that in the church, there is a desire for us to get back. But over and over again, even churches that are reopening, they're seeing that a lot of people aren't coming back. At least they're not having the huge numbers that they were expecting as they kind of trickle open. Now, a lot of us, we have this temptation to say, well, that's just because of the virus and people are really afraid of that. And I think that for a lot of pastors, that is a crutch and kind of an excuse that we use to say that, you know, that it helps us to save face when really our numbers in a lot of cases were declining for the last decade. And this is kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. You seeing that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree.
Yeah. So I think that this idea that we're, just to be really clear, we're not saying that this should replace all in-person ministry. We believe in in-person ministry. And we think if you do digital right, it can actually make in-person ministry more effective. And people that connect with you in person, they'd have even more engagements with you online. That's something that we're seeing. Yeah. And I think that's really a possibility. But I guess we have three main things that I was thinking, and we can kind of talk through some of this stuff here about ways that churches can deal with this declining attendance phenomenon that we're seeing right now. The first one, I think, is we probably need to take a look at some new metrics that we've been saying, I think, and I've heard pastors say this for a long time, that maybe a number of like attendance numbers on Sunday morning, we already knew that wasn't the best metric to measure things by, but it was still the one that everybody kind of measured, right? It's still, we have these lists of fastest growing churches and largest churches, and they're always taken by the number of the total worship attendance. And I think that is probably, it was already an even better number than like this nebulous membership number that a lot of churches use, right? You talk to churches all the time where they tell you your membership and it's usually pretty different from how large their church actually is, right?
So three times, sometimes four times as high as the actual membership.
Right, exactly. So membership has always been kind of a dead number we found. And then we've tried this total worship attendance, and we still ask for it when churches write in or want some help from us. We'll ask them, what's your normal worship attendance? But really, especially now, it is a dying metric, I would say. There's still certainly some value to keeping those numbers, but I don't think you get any real sense of the impact, certainly not the spiritual impact a church has when you measure just that total worship attendance number. So, but the question is, so what next? What do we measure now? I don't know. Do you have any ideas on that?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that the McCary's article touched upon was engagement, you know, and that term, instead of conversion into a first time visitor, it's keeping people engaged right now. So I think that all of the metrics that you know, are going to come out of that are going to be varying. But I think that's the key word. I think that's one of the biggest things that stuck out to me in the article is just that word engagement. And I've been, you know, I've been using that word more in a lot of my consultations and conversations with churches. And I think the light bulb's starting to go off in a lot of pastors and as far as what that means. And, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, so if we talk about that, is online views. Of course, you know, right now we're seeing a decrease in online viewership for, like, you know, church services and, you know, people watching those online or even Facebook Live or watching them on a YouTube or through the church's website. We're seeing a decrease in that. And I think some of that's based on, again, people kind of with this, we were all engaged in that initially and people kind of we're over that, so to speak, and they're craving the in-person. But I think we're going to kind of start to see that come back up as time goes on, you know, how these things happen in waves. But I think that that's the first thing that comes to mind, and it's probably fresh on most pastors' mind, is, okay, we should be watching how many people are joining us on Facebook. We should be tracking and measuring how many people are watching or viewing sermons online while live, and then also tracking people are looking at things on demand. Not everyone's going to tune in at the service time. So having on demand and an archive of messages is going to be very key to track those analytics as well. So that's one of the first ways I think of engagement. Yeah.
I have some thoughts on that, because I'm going to be really frank with everybody here. Like, so we were, when we first started doing online services and, you know, my family, we'd get together and we'd watch it. And now we really have to force ourselves to do it, if I'm being really honest, because I have kids. I have elementary age kids, and getting them to, thankfully it's not a really long service, but it's still an hour, and getting them to sit down and watch an episode of whatever show they watch, SpongeBob or whatever it would be, getting them to sit down and focus on that for an hour is hard. Getting them to sit through an entire church service and stay engaged and trying to connect, it's really like pulling teeth. It's like herding cats, I think is a good way to say it. So, so I think that we were all willing to try it in the beginning. And now, if you don't have a real commitment to do it week in and week out, I think a lot of families are not. And I know at our church, we've seen a lot fewer viewers online. From what I'm reading, it's about half of what it was in the beginning of the COVID crisis and everything. So, so those numbers are waning. And I think there's been a lot of confusion on what do I do with these numbers? Like, so at first, pastors were taking, I heard this kind of thinking, they were taking their number of views, and we always have this tendency to count, as they say, evangelistically, right? Like, so we'd kind of stretch the numbers a little bit. So we'd take the number of views, we'd assume that there was a whole family watching for each one of those views. So you multiply that number of views by, I've heard people trying to use numbers like 4 or 5, because they assume for every view that was 5 people sitting on their couch watching that. And then they take any view for even like a few seconds and count it as a service attendance. And so we got these ridiculous numbers where a church of, you know, their normal total worship attendance was something like 200 people. They would look at it and they'd say, well, we had 600 views online. Yeah. And on top of, you multiply that by 5, so we're talking about, you know, 3,000 people came to our service this weekend.
Right.
And I heard that kind of thinking and I knew it was fishy. And I've heard someone make the analogy, that's kind of like counting everybody that drives by your church and sees your sign, counting them as an attender, right?
That's it.
I think there's lots of things that are in that online views number that we need to be careful about. So you need to measure, yes, count how many people are watching. But I think even more important is, how long are they watching for? That's a really important metric, because that's how you measure engagement. The number, that's just kind of that's something that's a vanity metric. I think the engagement, how many people watch for more than 15 minutes, for instance, or how many people watch all of the service? Some of those kinds of questions, I think, are things that we really need to look at as we're measuring online views. And I think you're dead right about not just measuring live views. I'm seeing from most churches that they're seeing about twice as many on-demand views as they are online. I think as they are seeing live. And I think the idea of measuring or even just focusing so much on live media, focusing on live services, I think that that's something that maybe we would need to get away from a little bit and really make more and more on-demand content, because, you know, you think about the way we watch any other content. If Netflix only put things on at certain times so we had to watch it, and that's 1990s thinking. That's like back when we were watching Friends and we all had to be on the couch on Thursday nights to watch it, right? The world doesn't work that way anymore.
No.
So, I don't know. Just some things I'm thinking about with how we measure that. But what else? What else should people be measuring?
Well, I think that's a perfect transition to talk about if we are measuring that and how long that they're watching or listening and then as far as the on demand, well, what do we want to do from there? It's one thing. It's great that we have them engaged in that way, but how do we want to take that engagement further? And I think that that means how do we want people to respond after hearing them and watching a message. So there's different ways to do that. If they were on Facebook Live, are they writing in to talk to you about how encouraged they were and inspired, and do they want more information? Or better yet, if you're streaming well from your website and where you have a little bit more control and strategy to take, we're seeing to have like a good, if we want to call it, probably not, maybe just an online connection card, whatever we want to call that. That is something that a lot of churches, I know my church is seeing great results from that, is after they're inspired by a message, let's allow them to write in and fill out a form and let us know, hey, you know, are you wanting more information about the church? Check that off. Do you want to know more about Jesus and a relationship with him? Do you just want to get in touch with a pastor? And then that, I think, is the key. I think it's what do we, how do we, just like an altar call, right? In a service, a physical service, it's, you heard the message. Okay, what are you going to do next? And so that's the way we got to look at it. So I think that's one of the things as far as engagement and new metrics, Thomas, that we're starting to see take off and we're recommending for sure.
Yeah, I think that that's something that so many pastors are missing. I've been watching a lot of online services just to give pastors feedback lately, and very few of them are asking for people to respond in some kind of a way online, where we would never do that in our Sunday services. We'd always ask visitors to fill out a card. We'd ask them to come up front if they've made a decision for Jesus. I'm seeing some of that. I'm seeing very few churches doing connection cards. And I think that's something that we, like, so getting people to fill out forms online and take a step, I think that is super important to measure how many people are taking steps, how many people are signing up to be baptized. Don't stop all of that, but all of those things need to be brought online, obviously, which I think that's really, that'll bring us to our kind of our second thought, is that I think a major shift that churches need to make right now is bringing their assimilation process as a whole, bringing that out of the pews and onto the digital space there. So I think that the Connect cards are a really important way to do that. I know that that's kind of the, when I was pastoring in Madison, Wisconsin, that was the lifeblood of our church, that people that filled out Connect cards, we had a really solid system to write them and give them a gift and send them a physical card and email them and make phone calls and, you know, trying to meet people whatever was the most convenient way for them to communicate. We just wanted to start a conversation and make sure that communication was a two-way street. We wanted to hear their story, not just tell them our story all the time. And so when that dries up for churches, as it has for so many over the past 4 months, it really starts to bring things down, and it kind of kills a lot of the mission that we have, like, because that's the on-ramp to people discovering their relationship with Jesus there. So I think the connection cards, you're hitting that exactly right. That's a really big thing. What else do you think people, what else can churches be doing to bring their assimilation process online?
Yeah, I think it's just the natural next step is, if once you get these people engaged that way, well, obviously our goal when we did that physically in the past more was to get them in some sort of a membership class. Well, we need to now really be intentional to move that process online now too. So whether or not that's through a virtual Zoom experience or whatever you want to have set up internally at your church, that is going to give people the opportunity to take that next step and go deeper, you know, with your church and quite frankly, to grow in their faith, you know, and there are still there are still things we can provide, just like we would provide them with physical books and online resources. We could do it this way as well. You know, after they make that decision to follow Jesus, get baptized and so on. That process, I think, Thomas, really needs to be brought and be very intentional on that online. Now, it's going to look different for every church, you know, every church. You know, before this all happened, had a different assimilation process, or maybe not one at all. And this would be a good opportunity now to start new and from scratch to do something that is effective online. And again, the end goal with all of this is that when we can begin to meet physically more, if these people are taking these steps and they're a member online, we think the natural inclination will be them to become a physical member again, too. So I think, you know, again, let's not forget that since we're talking a lot about this online strategy. The goal is to keep these people engaged that way. But I think, yeah, that membership, having a membership class online is definitely key right now.
Yeah. What do you think? So I was talking to, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and he was playing with the idea of whether it made sense to do like a live membership class, like a Zoom call with interaction. Yeah. And he was playing with maybe instead like doing a pre-recorded, like a almost like a webinar where they can sit through a membership class by themselves. That didn't sit well with me. What do you think?
It didn't sit well with me either. That's to be quite honest. I think then again, everyone is craving some interaction right now, and they're craving authentic, you know, any sort of authenticity they can have with relationships right now. And so I think my persuasion would be to do something live, keep it small, you know, keep people in small groups. Don't, you know, if you're a larger church, don't have hundreds of people on this one Zoom call and try to keep that live. I think you keep it small, intimate. You allow people to express themselves with a pastor through a Zoom meeting or however you want to do that. So I'm with you on that, Thomas.
Yeah, I think that just the personal connection that people can make with a leader in the church or the pastor of the church, I think it's so valuable. And that's something we can't just give away and just have people go through their own kind of watching a few videos to become a member. I just don't think that that quite cuts it that way. It has to have that interactivity. And one other thing I would say, too, is that with all of this bringing assimilation online, whether it be the initial step of getting a Connect card or the membership class, the thing you need to hear, I think everybody needs to remember, is that you have to incentivize this. Like, I have found that if you don't give someone a reason to fill out a form, that they will never, ever do it unless they have a real reason. And the reason can't be so that we can email you or so that we can communicate.
Put you on our list.
Yeah, you'll have a few people that, like, you have to really, really want to get connected to that church if you're willing to fill out a form just so you can be on the email list, right? Because I think that's kind of a rare thing there. So most churches, I think you need to think about what works for you. I talked to one church that did mugs. They were talking about that. Yeah. You know, maybe a coffee gift card, something like that. There's all kinds of ideas on what you can do, but giving something away and incentivizing them to fill out a connection form, that's going to make all the difference, I think. You agree?
Yeah. My church here in Austin, Texas, of course, we deal right now in the summertime dealing with the Texas heat and 100 plus degree weather. We like to give out those water bottles that keep it cold, not a full Yeti or anything like that, but a nice one to keep the water cold. So there's a lot of
branded with your church logo and that kind of
branded
stuff on it.
Has the website address on it and ways for them to follow us. And again, it makes it more personal with people craving anything personal these days that they can get.
I think that it helps people when it's branded like that. It helps them feel like they're a part of something that way. Like they're drinking out of that, that celebration church mug. You know, and it makes them feel like, I'm one of the team. So I think that goes a long
that's
way.
That's it. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, third thing, and last thing I guess we'll talk about today is I think there is going to be a hard challenge that churches are going to need to look, think through and pray about. And it gets kind of personal with this here because I think there's some need for a lot of churches to make some staffing changes. Yeah. Because the staff roles we had pre-COVID, some of them don't have the same value, like the roles, not the people. The people are just as valuable, but the roles, they probably aren't, there probably shouldn't be the same roles in the average church now in this new digital is default world for churches. So have you heard about any churches that are making staff changes or anything like that, or changing roles?
Oh yeah, I know. Through my conversations, of course, I've heard of that with a lot of the churches that that I'm working with. But just case in point with my church, it's funny that you mentioned that, because just a couple of weeks ago, I was talking with the worship leader at our church, and who happens to be in my small group. And the interesting thing that he said was that he never thought that he would have to become a content creator online. And so here we go, a guy that was just focused on worship and had some other duties there, of course. But he had mentioned that not just he, but others on staff have, instead of being focused on physical ministry, now it's online ministry. And for all their respective areas of ministry, they're having to create really good content, whether or not it's a kids pastor for, coming up with children's discipleship content or teaching content, or, again, worship content if you're the worship leader. So it was pretty funny. He thought that was never in his job description again.
Yeah.
But again, we're having to adapt, we're having to adapt. And that's been very, churches that are making that shift are at least providing ministry resources, maybe in a different way, but they're providing them.
Yeah, boy, yeah, that's exactly right. I think everybody is a content creator now. That's really the primary role. And we were, we didn't probably use those terms. We like things that sound more prestigious, like pastor or preacher or teacher or those things. But content creator
pastor of content. How about that?
Because all content needs shepherding, right? So
that's right.
That's it. But I think that's really a smart move. I heard from another church recently that they converted six of their pastors to they're actually changed their job title to content creators. And this is a really large church, but six full-time staff people making content all the time, and it's not too much. I think that's one of the big things, is that people will wonder, what should I do? And a lot of pastors get paralyzed with this, thinking about, what kind of content should I make? And they get kind of bogged down in thinking about it. You just need to make lots and lots of content, I think. And that's something that people want to do. Put it on, do it well. And I don't recommend that you have to be on every single social channel, but your church should definitely be on Facebook. You should probably be on Instagram. Yeah. You probably should be making video content on those channels and also putting it on YouTube. But doing that regularly, I think that is something that churches need that. And here's another thought that I had. And I put this out on Twitter, I think last week. I made this statement that the church communications director is now the second most important staff position at every church, after the lead pastor, of course. And I got a lot of pushback on that when I put that out on Twitter. I heard a few people that said, kind of made the, I put it on Facebook too, and I got some of those smiley face reactions, like, ha ha, really funny, that kind of stuff. I got some sad reactions and those things like that. But man, I stand by it. I think that's what we're, I'm not diminishing the importance of youth pastors and worship pastors and executive pastors and all those other roles, very important still. But I think that what you're getting out there and the way you're communicating, this is the way that you're seen in a digital world, in a digital is default church. The communications program and what you guys are doing there is of the utmost importance. You agree?
Absolutely. And I think if you think about it, communication's a biblical thing, right? Communicating the gospel, God communicates. He's always used us as vessels to communicate. And when you have this person, think of them if I think maybe some of those sad faces that you received on Facebook, Thomas, is just because I can't think everyone is just the reality that we're all facing is, again, gets a little depressing. But if you think about it more of in an empowering way, your communications person, they're going to equip every other ministry leader, to be able to use their gifts and whether or not that's, to create content specific to that ministry and of course still minister to people in other ways. But I think that person is going to be a huge resource to other ministry leaders. So I completely agree. And again, all of this at the end of the day, you know, to kind of steer it back to what we all hope for, and going back to the beginning part of our conversation, Thomas, about how we don't want to consider this to replace, you know, human interaction at all. But at the end of the day, if we do all of this and we get people engaged and they're following our content, the end goal with this is that as things begin to get better and we can physically connect more, these people, the more people we're keep getting engaged this way, will end up, we'll be giving them a hug at church, hopefully, right, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think most of us are very excited for that. You introverts out there, maybe not. Maybe you're dreading that day when you have to give hugs to everybody at church on the same weekend there. But yeah, I think you're exactly right, Ian. One more thing I'll share with this about the staffing side of things, too. I think that that's it is a real shift. And I know that this is hard because there's people's lives are at stake with this, and you're getting involved with compensation and all that kind of stuff there. And I'm not making any recommendations on that. But what I did, I read another pastor, a very prominent one, who recommended that 30% of the church's staffing budget now should probably be directed towards online online interaction. And that's what staff should be working on right now. So my goodness, I know that these are major changes, and churches, we are notoriously, change is hard for us, right?
So, right.
But, and I think to just kind of end it today here, I think that this is so important. And I just want pastors to be encouraged. And again, bring it back to the fact that this is going to be about seeing an increase in the, maybe not in the week-to-week physical, but we still believe in physical ministry, but it's about seeing an increase in the overall mission of the church, of winning people to Jesus, seeing people get discipled, seeing more people in heaven because of the work that we're doing here as we do ministry here on earth. And so we got to keep the focus. That has to stay the focus with us as long as we're doing this here. So, I just want pastors to be encouraged that it's not bleak. I think the future is bright. There might be some major shifts that have to happen, but I think that our best days are still ahead. And we know that from Scripture, that we win and the church wins. We're the bride of Christ. Amen. We win in the end. God wins, and this is going to be good.
Amen. Preach it there, Thomas. I agree.
That's it. So, all right, guys. Well, we'll leave it at that. Great to talk with you today, Ian. And if you guys have a second, you can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. It means a lot to us. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.